7BR Part Heard. Hello, and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard, the podcast that traverses the legal landscape, examining issues across multiple practice areas, guided by the diverse expertise of our members. I'm Rhys Palmer, Chambers Paralegal. We're joined today by 7BR member Joshua Yetman, who is back today to discuss the Court of Appeal judgment, Fritilla and Another, and the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. Josh is one of Chambers' most recent tenants, having completed his pupillage in October 2020. He has particular experience in discrimination law and social security law, two areas addressed in the case of Fritilla. Since joining Chambers, Josh has continued to build on this experience. He is currently instructed in two upper tribunal appeals. One relates to the 2012 Criminal Injuries Compensation Scheme, and the other raises issues of discrimination under Article 14 of the ECHR. He is also regularly instructed in multi-day employment tribunal hearings involving discrimination claims, recently appeared successfully in the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and is a guest writer for the Discrimination Law Association. Josh, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Rhys.
So as always, before we start and get into the legal aspect of this case, could you just provide us with the background and the history and how we ended up at the Court of Appeal?
So this Court of Appeal decision was addressing two appellants, and those two appellants were Romanian nationals who had been unsuccessful in the High Court. Those Romanian nationals had applied or tried to apply for something called universal credit, a benefit administered by the respondent, the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. Essentially, obviously, the Department of State that administers disability benefits and benefits based on income. Those appellants had lived in the UK for less than 5 years at the time of applying for universal credit and had acquired something known as pre-settled status, an immigration status set out under the EU settlement scheme. The appeal addressed a provision of the universal credit regulations that, in practice, barred claimants from the EU who had obtained pre-settled status from getting universal credit. And the fundamental question for the Court of Appeal was, is the High Court right in its interpretation of that provision? And is it right in the context of Article 18 of the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union? Article 18 addresses the prohibition of discrimination on the basis of nationality. So the appeal raises two questions: the operation of the universal credit regulations and this bar built into them, and secondly, whether or not that bar is discriminatory contrary to Article 18.
So there's quite a bit of law that's relevant to this judgment. There's the Article 18 Treaty of Functioning of the European Union, the Universal Credits Regulations, the Citizens' Right Directive. Could you just explain what these all are and how they are relevant to this judgment?
So by way of background, the appellants, of which there were two, were Romanian nationals. And importantly, they had lived in the UK for less than 5 years at the time they applied for universal credit. And it may sound obvious, but the respondent was the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions, and that is the Department of State that administers and provides for disability benefits, welfare benefits, such as universal credit. It wasn't in dispute that the two appellants had acquired something called pre-settled status under the EU settlement scheme. And so what that means is, at the time of applying for universal credit, the appellants or claimants, as they were, had obtained that pre-settled status. Now, pre-settled status is an immigration status which allowed them to have recognised a limited leave to remain as EU nationals who have lived in the UK for less than 5 years. And it's important to say, at the time of applying, had they lived in the UK for 5 years or more, they would have had settled status recognised and they would not have been prevented from applying for universal credit. So a key distinction is that these two appellants from Romania lived in the UK for less than 5 years at the time of applying. They are EU nationals, and they had acquired pre-settled status, which is the route, if you will, to settled status. And so that's the key distinction there. There's a limited leave to remain with pre-settled status, And that obviously changes once there is settled status and you get indefinite leave to remain. So the refusal of the benefit was essentially on the basis of the acquisition of pre-settled status and the fact that they were EU nationals that had obtained that pre-settled status. In terms of the legal regimes that applied to the appeal, there are two broad schemes. You have the universal credit regulations, which are in a few places, but rooted in the universal credit regulations 2013. And then there is the updating and amending regulations 2019, which implemented this regulation that was subject to the appeal. And that regulation is regulation 93C little I of the amending regulations. So to set that in the context, it is regulation 93CI that barred persons with pre-settled status from obtaining universal credit. And so that's the regime that said claimants must be habitually resident in the UK, but that those who have that habitual residence derived from pre-settled status cannot obtain universal credit. So that is the domestic regime that's relevant to this appeal. The question of Article 18 of the Treaty of the Functioning of the European Union applies because that is essentially a prohibition of discrimination on the basis of nationality. So it's an article that prevents difference of treatment due to that nationality. And of course, this appeal addressed whether or not that regulation 93CI offended the prohibition of discrimination under Article 18. So those are the two regimes. You've got the European regime and you've got the domestic regime.
And so when it came to the lower courts and they were applying these pieces of law, these legislations, what did the lower court decide and why?
So the High Court decision of 2020 dismissed the appellant's application for judicial review, appellants being claimants at that stage. And the dismissal was based on three key premises. Firstly, the High Court determined that the appellants could rely on Article 18. And that's important because Article 18, of course, is a species of European Union law. But the High Court said, nonetheless, because pre-settled status creates what the court called a freestanding right of residence in domestic law, that meant that Article 18 would apply. And the reason or basis for that was that a key decision of the European Court, or the European Court of Justice as was, in the case of Trajani, was held to be good law. And essentially that case said, Article 18, when addressing a freestanding right of residence, will prohibit any discrimination on the basis of that right of residence. So point one, court said Article 18 applies in this context. However, point two of the decision and the refusal of the appeal found that the discrimination in this case was indirectly discriminatory. And that's very important because indirect discrimination in this context can be justified as in others, namely in employment context, let's say. And so what the court said, or the High Court said, is the reason this is indirectly discriminatory is because some non-UK EU nationals can be awarded universal credit if they've lived in the UK for 5 years or more. So as I alluded to earlier, essentially what the High Court said was, if you have settled status, you can claim universal credit. You can do that if you're a non-UK EU national. Therefore, this provision does not directly discriminate against all non-UK EU nationals on the basis of their nationality. And that's important because indirect discrimination can be justified. And then the High Court determined that indeed, for reasons of policy, largely in to do with, so the Secretary of State says, discouraging benefit tourism and encouraging economic activity, that this discrimination could be justified on the basis of that policy. And on for that reason, the offending regulation in the Universal Credit Regulations was not unlawful, according to the High Court.
And then the claimants appealed this and brought this up to the Court of Appeal. What arguments did they put forward, sort of differentiating the judgment from the High Court?
They kept it simple, which, given the complexities of the case, is no mean feat. They essentially said that Article 18 applies, and so they agreed with that finding of the High Court. But their case said, well, once an EU citizen has a right of residence, whether or not it's limited or whether or not it's indefinite, that citizen is entitled to the same benefits of nationals of that state in accordance with that state's law. So in short, they're saying it doesn't matter how you acquire your right of residence. Once you have it in domestic law, you should be treated the same as nationals of that state in accordance with that state's law. If you are not, that is discriminatory, and that is discriminatory contrary to Article 18. Now, in reply, the Secretary of State of Work and Pensions maintained the position relied upon the High Court. And that was on the basis that there could be no freestanding right of residence under Article 18. And the reason for that, it was said, is because all such rights arise under something called the Citizens' Rights Directive, specifically Directive 2004/38/EC. And so the Secretary of State tried to say that the only prohibition on discrimination could be found within the Citizens' Rights Directive. It could not be grounded in Article 18. And the reason that matters is that the Citizens' Rights Directive, under Article 24(2), allows for a derogation from the prohibition of discrimination in certain circumstances. So essentially, the Secretary of State tried to say, we apply the Citizens' Rights Directive, there's a derogation, that applies, not Article 18.
And how did the Court of Appeal come to their decision, and what reasonings did they give for that?
The lead judgment was given by Lord Justice McComb, and it was found that given a recent Court of Justice of the European decision, namely Job Centre, Credfield against JD, Trajani, the case I mentioned earlier, was still good law. And that was still good law because Job Centre failed to impugn it. It failed to criticise it or depart from it. And so on that basis, the interpretation of Trajani in relation to domestic rights of residence and the interaction between that domestic right and Article 18 was held to be good law. And it's important because it essentially means that the Court of Appeal rejected the arguments put forward by the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. And it did so on the basis that the Court of Justice of the European Union had said where entitlement is to benefits is derived from national rights, as opposed to EU law, Article 18 can apply, not the Citizens' Rights Directive. So it drew a distinction between the four corners, as it were, of a right of residence under the Citizens' Rights Directive and what Article 18 is catered to prohibit.
Now, this is quite an important decision. So going forward, what are the practical implications of this judgment?
Well, there are a number. In essence, what the decision means is that this sort of discrimination, even though there can be sort of, if you will, subclasses of non-UK nationals that will be discriminated against and subclasses that aren't, for example, the PSS, pre-settled status versus the settled status distinction, that even though that can be right factually, this sort of discrimination is direct and therefore unavoidably unlawful and can't be justified. So it's fundamental in cases such as this, where there is, even though a difference in treatment within a class of non-UK national, if it's grounded in a domestic right of residence outside of the Citizens' Rights Directive, it will be direct and it cannot be justified. The implications for that really are that, and it was quite stark, the court said that this really ends the debate in relation to direct and indirect discrimination in this context. So this really means that discrimination need not impact upon all EU citizens in order to be direct. And indeed, the court itself, in the dissenting judgment of Lord Justice Dingemans, was that, well, this is quite a stark decision, noting that the direct-indirect distinction was well known in UK domestic law and that this departed from that. So it's really quite a seminal moment in relation to that distinction. The other important thing to note about this judgment is that whilst the Court of Appeal found that the provision of the regulations was to be quashed because it was unlawful and discriminatory, the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions did apply for permission to appeal to the Supreme Court, and that was granted by the Supreme Court. That means practically that this decision, the Court of Appeal decision, was stayed, and it was stayed pending the outcome of the Supreme Court appeal process. In terms of those claimants who are thinking, well, what does this mean for me? Well, what that means is that whilst the Court of Appeal said this regulation is unlawful and is to be quashed, that is on hold. And so therefore, at present, claimants can't rely on the Fritilla Court of Appeal decision so as to have their decisions on entitlement to universal credit revisited, for example. They can't go and say to the Secretary of State, well, look at this decision. It said that this is unlawful. Therefore, you've got to consider my application irrespective of pre-settled status. So it's frozen in time, as it were. And whilst that may be frustrating to some, that's the nature of the process as it is. The second slightly complicating factor is the Supreme Court appeal has been stayed on the basis of an outstanding Court of Justice of the European Union decision, a case that should give judgment towards the end of this month in July. And so there's a further complicating factor in there's another decision that the Supreme Court will have to consider that had not been handed down. And that's important because it said that that decision turns on similar issues in the context of pre-settled status and or this sort of prohibition as a result of that. So in short, things are paused. And whilst the Court of Appeal decision, if it's upheld, will see this provision quashed, and therefore claimants with pre-settled status will be able to obtain universal credit, notwithstanding the other criteria, at the moment, it's not the case that they can rely on the decision. So it's a holding position, and we'll have to wait and see what the Supreme Court says.
Well, thanks, Josh. It's been a pleasure having you on.
No worries.
Thank you to our listeners. If you enjoyed this week's episode, you can find similar episodes from our members where they discuss recent judgments such as Kahn and Meadows, Meyer Forstater and CGD, Uber and Aslam, and Asda and Briley. All our podcasts can be found on Chamber's website, Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.